You're listening to ESPN 97.5, Houston's only FM sports station.
One home for all professional sporting activities.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Presented by Rice University, Jones Graduate School of Business MBA program. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Kelvin Sampson's deal done, official. Been telling you guys for weeks that was going to happen. Nobody wanted to listen to me. And I would just point out two things: that his son being coach in waiting doesn't really mean a thing, because if somebody else comes and offers him a job, he'll take it. If his dad plans on coaching the rest of this contract. So it's not that big a deal to give it to him. And, you know, I think good for Kelvin, good for UH. I want to just clarify this. It doesn't mean next year, if the Rockets job comes open or something, that he might not still take it. But at his age, I think it would have to be something like that.
I'm not one to defend the style of play of James Harden. It is so boring to me. I would rather watch paint dry. But there's no argument against its effectiveness, and it's within the rules of the game. So if a team has that ability to build their system around a guy like that, and it gets you to where you're in the Western Conference Finals, I mean, you're competing, why not?
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz, hour number three. That's some of what you missed. All of it's on podcastarena.com. And we usually reset things here, but we got Brad on the line, so let's just jump to our guy, Brad Powers, pregame.com, lead college football and college basketball analyst for pregame, and occasional podcast partner of A.J. Hoffman. How's it going, Brad?
It's going well. How you guys doing on this fine Thursday night?
Not too bad. We were talking earlier, and Fred asked me, and I guess we'll ask you how you feel about it. You know, when you're down to the end of the season and, you know, let's say people have subscribed to your plays, or you've got people who follow you and buy your packages. Do you feel pressure to have releases when you're down to the last three games, even if you don't really love a side one way or the other?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think you do. I guess I've learned over the years that anytime you're forcing something just to have something on there, I mean, you really don't have a lot of positive EV bets. But I get it. It's coming down to the end. Everyone wants at least an opinion on it. So, you know, every now and then, I'll release something that might have been in between. I don't make it a strong. I'll never, ever, ever force something that's, you know, and promote it as a game of the week, or you'll never see me, you know, have a game of the year when it's Final Four time, or, game of the year when it's the Super Bowl. I've never been that guy. But there might be a time where, you know, I'll say, hey, you know, usually this be pizza money, maybe because we're down to the final here, maybe we throw just a little bit more on it. But, there's certainly pressure as we get and close up the season.
Yeah, just to follow that, because with three games left, and plus everybody's going to want to bet on these games, especially if they've been betting college basketball, it's get-out time. So, you know, that's why I was just kind of curious if because I kind of feel that way at the end of football season when we get down to the last couple NFL games, and I might not love them as much, but people really want opinions on those games.
Yeah, and I will say the good thing about, you know, sometimes you can have a relatively strong play this time of year. Why? You know, there's so much money being met in the marketplace. You know, sometimes the public can have a say in the betting line this time of year because there's so much overwhelming money. Maybe a media narrative on a game you think is entirely wrong, and therefore you can find some value. But, you know, generally speaking, these should be the tightest lines, the sharpest lines of the entire year, because we have all the data points on these teams for a full season. They're isolated games. The whole world's betting on them. But another unique thing this time of year, and it's tough loading them into pick systems, but I love the unique opportunities when it comes to game props and player props that some of these isolated games offer this time of the year.
And by that, what do you mean? Like, are you talking about team totals, or are you talking about like the first to 10 things, or what do you mean?
Yeah, it could be stuff like that, or it could be, you know, one thing you don't see in college basketball too often. You don't see individual player props.
True.
I mean, right now my favorite bet right now in the Final Four, whether it be side, total, player prop, team prop, anything, I'm going to take Michigan State's Kenny Goins to go over 7.5 points. I think he's being mispriced completely. They're just using a full season average number on him, when the reality is, since Nick Ward got hurt, Kenny Goins' minutes have gone up eight minutes a game. His points per game's gone up 3 points per game. Here's a guy that they've got 7.5 out there right now, the over-under. In the first 24 games, he only topped 7.5 points 7 times. Last 14 games, Kenny Goins, Michigan State, has topped that 10 out of the 14 games. So you can get some mispricing, I think, when it comes to individual player props. That's my favorite bet.
Well, let's look at a couple of those games. Let's look at that Michigan State-Texas Tech game first. What are your thoughts on the way these two teams match up? Obviously, Texas Tech continues to surprise everybody. Well, maybe not surprise everybody, but they continue to play incredible defense. And what we've seen is, and I think what's gotten Texas Tech there is what's gotten Virginia as far as they've gotten, is you've seen them add in offense when they need to. If they're against Gonzaga, they started hitting some threes in that second half and were able to pull away. How do you think they match up against this Michigan State team, and what do you see it coming down to? What's the deciding factor to you?
I think it's a tough matchup for Texas Tech, and all due respect to Chris Beard, who's—I think everyone now considers to be at least a top 10 coach in the country, even though he's only in year three at Texas Tech now, but an Elite Eight and a Final Four already on his resume, and a really good season at Little Rock as a head coach as well, getting to the second round. I don't think you can put a number on Tom Izzo's vastly big experience edge that he has over not only Chris Beard, but the rest of these head coaches combined. I mean, 8 Final Four appearances for Tom Izzo. It's an entirely different, game week leading up to it. I mean, your practices are covered leading up to it. You got a couple of different press conferences, the eyes of the entire country on you. And to have a vast experience in that type of situation, I mean, to me, it's worth at least a point. And I don't think it's being properly priced in this line. I'm leaning Michigan State because of that factor.
When it comes to the two stars in this game, Jarrett Culver and Cassius Winston, I think they're both great. But I think that Cassius Winston presents some problems for Michigan, yep, or for Texas Tech, just with the way he moves the ball and the way he's able to punish you if you overextend and you overpressure him. And that's what Texas Tech does. They pressure you. They pressure the ball handler so much. And I think Cassius Winston, I don't know if there's guards in the Big 12 who can do what Cassius Winston's going to be able to do to Texas Tech. What are your thoughts on that?
And completely agree. And if you look at some of Tech's losses, I think all 6 are losses. I mean, they've went up against above average guard play in those games. Teams that, you know, guards that can break down that defense and get it out to some outside shooting. Well, Cassius Winston right now is, arguably the best guard in the country, at least at the college level. I'm not talking about future NBA prospect, but right now in college basketball, is there a guard you'd rather have, you know, running your team than Winston? I would say not. Coach K and the Blue Devils just said that's the best guard we've went up against all year, and Duke's the type of team that likes to get after you. Very aggressive. We saw how that broke down. I mean, Winston had 10 assists, 1 turnover, and just decimated them. And I think the ability that Winston can get it out to those shooters when Texas Tech really clamps down in the interior there, that's why I like the McQuaids and the Kenny Goins of the world to have maybe some big-time performances. I think it's a bad matchup for Texas Tech as well. And if I was going to bet one side out of the two games, Michigan State -2.5 would be that side.
Well, let me ask you about that, because I haven't placed my bet. I knew I wanted Michigan State when this line came out, but I said, well, would I hate the bet at -3? And my answer was no. And so while it's at 2.5, like, what do you think that there's any chance that it moves to a 2, or is it more likely to move to a 3?
Good question. And I usually go back to what have I seen the last couple of games, you know, Texas Tech games and Michigan State games. Where does the money come on game day? Because that's where, let's face it, that's where 75% of the public's going to bet. And I haven't seen too many big-time moves on game day. Maybe there was just a little bit of Gonzaga money come in against Texas Tech on game day in their last game. I don't see it moving too much. 2.5 from a pure power ratings aspect you know, I got it two. So I mean, maybe it goes to two, but I really don't see it moving all that much. I think 2.5 is a pretty solid number for a bookmaking line. Handicapping line, I think Michigan State should be more in the 3-3.5 range.
Okay. The other game, Virginia and Auburn, and this one I did grab early because I like these two games, I think, maybe equally, but I didn't think the number was going to go my way. So when it was 5, I grabbed Virginia. It's back to 5.5. I don't see it getting below 5 at this point for Virginia. So I'm glad I got it when I did. But this Auburn team, and I know the narrative will be Virginia's fool's gold and they're covering games and winning games that they shouldn't be winning. But Auburn, I think most people have a better image of what Auburn is now than they did at the beginning of the tournament. And it almost seems like that's ridiculous considering they lost maybe their most complete player. What do you think about the impact that the injuries had for Auburn? And do you think people are just kind of overlooking it because, hell, they've done okay without him?
Yeah, well, it's only been a game and a half. And, you know, until they wheeled him out in the second half of the Kentucky game, I mean, they were pretty much playing Auburn, you know, to expectation. Expectation was Kentucky was 5-6 points better than them, and that was pretty much it until they wheel them out there. And I don't know if there's an emotional lift. Sure seemed like it from the crowd aspect after that when Okiki got back in the second half of the Elite Eight game there on the sidelines. But I don't think the number of 5.5 says, you know, Okiki's worth only like a point or so. I think I was leaning more towards 2 points. I don't know if we don't have enough data to really prove that, but I would lean more towards the Virginia side here for two reasons. Number one is, you know, looking at the total on this matchup. The total at 131 says Virginia is going to be the one to dictate tempo.
They always Why? Are the one that dictates tempo.
Exactly. This is the lowest total Auburn's seen all season. Lowest total in any game. So if Virginia is going to dictate tempo, I would much, and you told me this game's played in the 60s, I would say you got a positive EV bet on Virginia if this game's played in the 60s. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to put on my conspiracy theory hat. And Auburn has, you know, part of, you know, the FBI allegations. They've had to get rid of a couple assistant coaches. And I think the NCAA does not want Auburn, you know, cutting down the nets when it's all said and done. You don't believe me? Look at the draw that Auburn got. By all accounts, should have been a 4 seed at worst, maybe even a low-level 3 seed after winning the SEC tournament. But Auburn not only is not a 3 or 4 seed, they're a 5 seed. They get shipped out to Salt Lake City, a horrible travel spot for them after playing on Sunday. Then you look at who they get in front of them, Kansas, North Carolina, Kentucky. I think if it comes down to it, a couple calls, and again, this is my conspiracy theory, I think Virginia's the team more likely to get calls here. I've swung around here to thinking Virginia's the right side. I'm with you, AJ.
Well, one of the things, and Okiki's, he's good at a lot of things. He's one of their better three-point shooters. He is their best rebounder, and Auburn is a bad rebounding team even with him. So, I think that you're going to see a lot of extra possessions for a Virginia team. And I know Auburn, they force a lot of turnovers. But Virginia, like that their whole game is built on not turning it over. So I feel like, yep. At the end of the day, I feel like Virginia's got better players. They've got the talent is there's a disparity. The coaching, I think there's a huge disparity. I think Bruce Pearl's he's fine. I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but Bruce Pearl's kind of a cheerleader coach. If you say Tony Bennett or Bruce Pearl, who do you trust to draw up the right play at the right time? It's not even a conversation in my mind. So I think at the end of the day, this game, I think maybe Auburn's been overvalued, and I think people are looking at Virginia and going, God, I just don't know. They keep winning these close games. But Virginia was one of the best teams in the country, and at one point in the season was the best team in the country. I just think that we're going to see that shine through here.
Yeah, you mentioned several things there. You mentioned the rebounding. I think the market's saying, hey, all is well. Auburn wasn't a good rebounding team to begin with. They didn't have Okiki against Kentucky. Kentucky had, you know, coming into the game, a massive edge. And yet Auburn more than held their own on the boards. To me, that was more of an outlier than saying, you know, predicting future success on the boards for Auburn. I would be stunned if they had similar success here against Virginia. Also, you know, looking at it, you know, when it comes to Virginia, I will say this, AJ. give me their impressive, like, when have you come out of one of their four tournament games here and said, wow, I was really taken back and really impressed with Virginia outside of that final play to tie it up in regulation against Purdue? Have you come away and said, well, that's my concern.
No, but you could also say
Virginia's playing a little tight.
You could also say that Virginia could have just laid down in that game, because that game was basically over. Yep. I mean, they were beat, and they didn't lay down. And I think that team has played with a chip on their shoulder the whole time. Maybe they're not worried about covering. You know, I don't know. I don't know what's going through their heads. But I feel like this team went into this postseason thinking, we all remember what happened last year, and there's zero chance we're going to let that happen again.
Fair enough. But I got to be honest with you. There's been moments where I thought they could really, you know, exert their force on an opponent, whether it be the first round game. I thought first half, and I agreed with RJ, you had one of his best bets. You know, after you lose the 16 seed 1 year, coming back the next year, you'd think they'd be super motivated. No, Virginia's trailing at halftime. I thought Virginia had an excellent matchup against Oklahoma, and they barely get a cover against the Sooners there in a game that I thought was a dream matchup spot for Virginia. I haven't come away, AJ, in any game thinking, man, Auburn's clearly one of the best teams in the country. It's been nip and tuck in all these games, and that would be my only concern here. I haven't seen any killer instinct out of the Cavs.
Well, obviously, the way that Virginia plays defense, the best way to beat Virginia, and we saw that this is how Purdue almost beat them, was to hit a high percentage from three. And, yep. You know, Carson Edwards got hot, and we saw that with at least one of the two games that Duke beat them this year, and they got hot from outside, and Virginia's susceptible to that. I guess the question is, how many shots is Auburn going to be able to hit? And if Auburn gets up like Purdue did in that 15 to 20 range, I think Virginia might be in trouble. But if you think this game is going to be played in the 60s, there's no way you think Auburn is going to hit 15 threes, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it could be high variance, because what Auburn not only does a good job of hitting the three-point shot, but they're also top 10 in the country as far as three-point percentage of their shots. Nearly half of all of Auburn's shots are three-point attempts, and to me, that equals a lot of high variance. If they're falling, Auburn, forget plus 5.5. I mean, if Auburn's hitting from downtown like they've had during this streak, many, many games, with the exception of the Kentucky game, I mean, they've been hitting at least 12 threes a game. If that's the case, I mean, Auburn can win this game outright. But you're talking to me against one of the better three-point shooting defenses in the country in Virginia, who are coming off a performance where, Purdue just had a big-time performance that's likely not to happen again. You're in that big arena in the football stadium center court. I think the chances are greater than 50% that Auburn is not going to have one of those big-time performances. And if they're not hitting from behind the arc and they don't have a big their best interior guy down low, what can they hang their hat on here, AJ?
It's a good question. Now, let me ask you this, because one of the things I always wonder is, how much do we value what we've seen in the tournament, and do we overvalue it compared to what we saw for the rest of the season? Because, like, to me, Auburn is a team whose stock has risen greatly in the last 3 weeks. And, I mean, Virginia, even though they're winning, you could argue their stock has fallen in the past 3 weeks. If I had told you before the tournament started that your Final Four was going to be Virginia, Auburn, Michigan State, and Texas Tech, what would you have thought, and who would you have liked, without knowing without taking into account these last four games?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be more on the Michigan State side, just for, proven entity there. And I'm thinking Virginia probably be laying 7 or something in that type of games. You're exactly right. I could tell you this. You know, what do you value more? I could tell you what the market does. The market definitely values what they just
recency,
saw the last three,
no
four
doubt.
Games. Recency bias big time, because, college basketball is a very niche betting market. Really doesn't get overly bet by the public until really after the Super Bowl is when the public jumps in February a little bit and then dips their toe in the water, and then boom, bang, March. It's the biggest thing in the world as far as sports betting goes. Recency bias is really, to me, would fit, say that the public, and we've seen it, if you believe in the public percentages, I mean, even though Auburn's one of those underdogs, they're one of those popular, trendy underdog picks. And again, that would leave me a little leery here.
And I don't have the numbers, but I say this pretty much every year. It seems like once the Final Four comes around, the favorites start to pull away here. Like it just seems like every year the whoever the favorites are in the Final Four, those are the teams that are going to win, and we're going to get the two best teams in the championship. And if that's the case, we're probably looking at Michigan State versus Virginia, right?
Yeah, and you know, data to back it up. I think there's only been one seed lower than a four that's won it since what, 1985. That was Connecticut a few years back. So every team that's won the title has been a four seed or better. So there's no question the cream rises to the top more often than not this time of year.
I got one for both you guys, if that's okay. Looking at one of my websites and odds on the tournament's most outstanding player, and they've got Winston and Kyle Guy at plus 250. Is there some value in some of the, especially if you think Virginia's going to win, is there some value in some of the other guys on their team? Because I'm looking at DeAndre Hunter plus 1,200, for instance. What do you guys think about that play?
Generally speaking, I think, you know, MVP odds to me are a little bit more, unless you really want to isolate it. It's almost like a crapshoot. You're throwing darts at a board. I mean, if you Cassius Winston, I don't think there's overwhelming value there. If you think Cassius Winston's going to win the MVP, why? Well, Michigan State's going to win both their games.
Right.
The safer bet, instead of guessing, is just, hey, take Michigan State on the money line both games if you think they're going to win the championship.
For me, like the guy that I think, well, because I picked Virginia to win in my bracket to begin with, I still believe Virginia is the best team in this tournament. I think they're going to win this tournament. But I think that DeAndre Hunter, if you're looking for a guy who's going to have to be great for them to win, and he's had foul trouble. I mean, he had foul trouble against Oklahoma. He'd hardly played, but he's a guy who I expect to see getting a lot of minutes. And I think that we've seen Bennett get questioned for why is your lottery pick not on the floor at certain times in the game. I don't think he's going to make that mistake again. I think DeAndre Hunter is going to be, and I think DeAndre Hunter is going to have a big game. We talk about player props. The total for him for points against Auburn is 14.5. I like the over. I think he's the star of this game against Auburn, and especially because Auburn just doesn't have, outside of their backcourt, they don't have size anymore. They don't have athleticism anymore. And if Guy and Jerome are taken up by the backcourt, who's going to check DeAndre Hunter? Without Okiki, I don't think they have an answer.
That's a really strong point. And what, Fred, you said 12 to 1 on Hunter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that if you're going to make a bet, that sounds pretty good to me. And player prop, as AJ's talking, I got my Westgate app open here, and I'm firing away because he's making a lot of sound points here.
I mean, you agree that from a matchup standpoint, he's going to be a problem. But I agree with what you're saying that, I mean, really you can go through every team like this and say, okay, if you think that Auburn is going to win, then you probably think Jared Harper is going to be the MVP. If you think that Texas Tech's going to win, Jarrett Culver is probably going to be the MOP.
Yep.
And I mean, I think you can do it with Cassius Winston and DeAndre Hunter. I think you can do that with all those guys. But to me, and maybe that's why I'm swayed, because I think Virginia's going to win. That's why I think the value is there on DeAndre Hunter, because I think he's the best player on the best team.
And I'll say this, I hope you are correct, because I have a bet with RJ, and I took four teams, and I gave him 4-1 on the field, and this was like a month ago, and the only team I have left is Virginia. I had Kentucky, Gonzaga, Duke, and Virginia. All four teams made the Elite Eight. Ooh, all four were favored in the Elite Eight. He had the field at 4-1, and all I have left is Virginia. So if Virginia wins the title, I win $250. If anybody else wins, he gets $1,000 from me. So
damn.
I'm right there with you.
Well, I hope you're right. And you know what? If I had to pick four teams a month ago, that's the same four I would have picked. So yeah. I don't blame you, but I think
four to one was the problem.
That's the problem.
He got me on that one. It was more like probably 2-1, 3-1.
I mean, just be glad that you didn't have Kansas or someone like that. Like, you'd feel real stupid if one of your four was Kansas or Michigan.
Agree.
You'd be like, oh my God, what was I thinking? But at least you picked probably the four best teams and roll the dice.
I mean, all four were in the Elite Eight, and all four were favored in the Elite Eight. I don't think I could have done a better job.
That's a tough one, man.
That's rough.
All right, that's Brad Powers, the head college basketball analyst at pregame.com. You can follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. You can find his premium plays at pregame.com. He does pretty well there. Make sure you check him out, and we'll be doing podcasts again next year, I guess, if RJ doesn't if he doesn't get rid of us. We'll be back in the saddle on that. But appreciate you taking the time with us, and we will talk to you again soon, my man.
All right, take care, guys. Enjoy the Final Four.
Yes, sir.
All
right.
See, I like throwing the occasional question in there that you guys go back and forth on because you convinced me to make that bet.
On DeAndre Hunter?
Yeah.
Okay.
At 12-1. Well, that was the name that... See, now this is how I'm picking up things from you guys because that was the name that jumped at me when I saw the odds. And I'm thinking, okay, well, if you're this strong on Virginia, then wouldn't he be, a pretty good choice? But I'll tell you, a really good choice for playing fantasy baseball, and that's my new favorite app, Draft. Daily fantasy baseball, totally different, though, than everybody else. On Draft, you play live snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. And drafts last just one night. When you're done drafting, that's it. There's no trades. There's no waiver wire. You just set it up and let it roll. And the best part, you're playing for cold, hard cash. You're going to get paid out the next day. Drafts start from as low as $1, so there's a draft for everybody. I'm going to set up a draft league for the Blitzers. I'll let you know about that very soon. I'm playing a season-long. I played... the last two nights I invested in Astros pitchers. That didn't go well with Verlander or Cole, but having a lot of fun and give it a try. Join me on Draft today. Just search Draft in your app store, or you can play right from your computer on draft.com. And for a limited time only, all Blitzers get a free entry into a real money baseball draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code FRED. That's right. Play a real money game for free just using my promo code FRED when you make your first deposit. Search Draft in the App Store, go to draft.com, and enter the promo code FRED.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Man, the show's almost over. You believe that?
I can believe anything, Fred.
It's just flying by. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-ESPN. 3776, and a couple people are asking me about hockey playoffs. I will do a preview for Sports Map. I'll start working on it Sunday because we'll know the schedule. But some of the matchups are already set. I'm a little, I don't know that I feel very good about. Usually I'll play some series bets and things like that. But the teams that I've liked all year are kind of sucking down the stretch. Including your Predators.
Yeah.
The Jets are a team that I've been real interested in. And I have a future ticket on San Jose to win the whole thing. But they're going to get the Golden Knights in the first round. They may not even get out of the first round. So it's going to be interesting. I'm waiting to see that last matchup in the East because...
Oh, playoffs aren't all decided yet?
No. I mean, there's still some bottom seeding. Stars got in, though. Congratulations to the Dallas fans. You're one and done. But, I always try to look for best goaltenders and, who might be hot at the right time. Tampa's going to be a huge favorite in the East. I'm kind of hoping they get Columbus in the first round. Columbus would be a tough matchup for them and or Pittsburgh for that matter.
Yeah.
Whoever comes in that eighth slot. But right now it's Carolina. They would eat Carolina's soul. So, but I'll have breakdowns of everything. And
it's too late for the... For the Red Wings, huh?
Yeah, they're
because they've been balling, right? I can see them win. Like every time it comes across, they win. But I think they were so horrible early on.
You know what they are? They're kind of like Arizona was last year. It's like once everybody was kind of set, then they started beating the crap out of teams. But yeah, Arizona damn near made the playoffs this year, but they're I don't think they're quite going to get there. But I'm really curious, and I'll tell you what. Don't be shocked if Washington's back there. That team is playing great right now. So I'll have it. I'm excited about it. Every single series, some bets. But the teams that I was looking at most of the season, I'm starting to waver on a little bit just because they're not playing very well.
All right.
And my Leafs are going to be one and done.
It's kind of a disappointment, huh?
I thought...
This was like a high hope season for them.
Yeah, and I can tell you the turning point. It was sometime in December when I tweeted out, I'm really starting to buy into this Leafs team. And they made the Jake Muzzin trade, and I thought, okay, they're there. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're losing to freaking Ottawa, and they're playing like garbage, and they can't play defense. And it's not just the fact that they're... I mean, they've got good defensemen, but they make too many mistakes, and it's just they're... And Boston's a bad matchup for them. So that probably gives you an idea where I'm leaning.
All right. Well, that's enough hockey talk for the week.
Yeah, forever. It'll all be on Sports Map, so you can go look at it. That's way right. You don't have to talk about it. All right, let's try one last call and see if this works. It has not been a good day for this. So, Jeff, please don't suck. We want to finish strong here. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Sports.
Hey, I was just wondering about the Sports Map. How often does that update? I mean, you know, when you give you guys picks and stuff?
Well, there's stories and things on there every day. And as far as picks go, we got all Jerry Bowe updates his on Wednesdays and Friday, and then he constantly updates them. And we're going to be doing a lot more gambling content on there, too.
Yes, what's y'all's outlook for the Final Four?
I would suggest going back to the 6 o'clock segment where we spent like a half hour breaking down both games.
Yeah. So basically 6 to 6:27 where we had Brad on and they went into great detail on everything. And I actually got two bets out of it from listening to them, which, you know, hey, that's part of the perks of the job. I can go whatever direction I want. Thanks to listening to two of pregame's best guys when it comes to college basketball. So yeah, that's, I kind of feel like if you call in at 6:40 and you want breakdowns of the games, that maybe you should have listened a little sooner.
I mean, listen, not everybody knows, but it's available to you. The information is out there.
I know everybody can't listen all the time, but usually by this stage of the show, we've talked about that.
Yeah.
Did you see your buddy Jim Irsay, one of the most brilliant men in the world?
A genius, some say.
Yeah, that's sarcasm. His goal is to win 3 Super Bowls in a row.
How about you start with one?
He says, I really feel like this is a young team that's ascending. I agree with him on that. That's one thing he said that I agree with. You guys know I will unabashedly say I'd like to win 3 in a row. How hard is it? I mean, it's hard as hell just to win one. And he's also said no team can be considered the greatest of all time until it wins 3 Super Bowls in a row. I don't know. I hate to break it to you. I think those Patriots probably considered that. But yeah, go get you one. Good luck, Jimmy. Think he's on drugs again?
I mean, when you say again, do you mean like he stopped for a while?
I'm pretty sure he never stopped.
That's kind of where I've been leaning. So
yeah, but. He's a member of the Lucky Penis Club, no question.
All right, let's tell people where they can get a new job. If you're not happy in the one that you got, you want to get into IT, it's a great idea, really. It's a hot job market right now, and you got to ask yourself, who's going to get me there? And there's a couple options. My Computer Career is one. It's the only school focused on getting people IT careers for over a decade. Or it could be some Johnny-come-lately college that's been at it for a few years. Training to start an IT career is what they do. It's all they've ever done nationwide. You could start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years, even with zero IT experience, because helping people start an IT career is exactly what they do. You'll attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. You're going to get everything you need to start your new career. Just like that, guys. It's all the certifications, all the skills, you got it. My Computer Career helps you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that are going to hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid's available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Classes start up soon. go take that free career evaluation today. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's MyComputerCareer.edu. This moment I replaced with an empty wish to give.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One last segment to go. You got any plans for the evening?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to the Rockets game tomorrow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, you'll be downtown. It'll be easy for you. Yeah, I'm going to hit up steak night tonight with Lawyer Dave and a couple other friends. Since nice. I didn't get steak last night at steak night because I was so stuffed from the barbecue. So, all right, let's do some Hoffman on Hollywood.
Let's do it. A stolen car crashed into the gates of Taylor Swift's beachfront Rhode Island home on Tuesday morning following a police chase that started in a neighboring town. I don't know if it was a rush to, remember this, Taylor Swift had, she's had some trouble with stalking in the past.
Yeah.
Apparently Taylor Swift, very stalkable. So we don't know if it was, we don't know if she was at home or if they knew that the home was owned by her, but three of the car's occupants, it was a 19-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 16-year-old, were taken to the hospital with what were described as non-life-threatening injuries. A fourth occupant, age 18, fled on foot, but was tracked down just after 4 a.m. So the driver is being held on $10,000 bond. No attorney was listed, and the car's other three occupants have not been charged. But the investigation, as they say, is ongoing. Our girl, Britney Spears. I mean, who would have thought she checked into a mental health facility? Apparently distraught over her dad being sick. Apparently it's quite serious and not getting better. And he's had two surgeries to correct major issues with his intestines and colons. The second surgery was recent, but he's been suffering complications. And Britney put her Vegas residency on hold to care for her dad. And apparently she's having a really hard time with it. She said, fall in love with taking of yourself, mind, body, spirit, along with the caption, we all need to take a little time for a little me time. And she checked herself into the facility about a week ago where she'll be for the next 30 days. So obviously this isn't her first time in a mental health institute. I think the last one was maybe 2008, something like that. So she's been on a good run here where she wasn't crazy. Like we all remember when she shaved her head.
Yeah.
But this one, apparently she's pretty distraught over her dad. Couple things to do with Los Avengers. Tickets for Avengers went on sale, and apparently there's some interest in that movie. I don't know if you knew about
it. Yeah, I've heard something about it, yeah.
So, AMC is doing something where they're celebrating with a 22-movie marathon featuring every movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, culminating with a screening of Avengers Endgame. At AMC Lincoln Square in New York, there's one in Chicago and one in California. Fans will have the opportunity to experience a 22-title Marvel movie marathon starting Tuesday, April 23rd, and ending with the premiere of Endgame. I mean, can you imagine?
No, I can't.
59 hours in a theater?
No.
When I'm watching a movie, I'm drinking soda or whatever. I have to pee like three times per movie.
Yeah.
I would miss everything. Yeah. But.
And then you got a 3-hour movie at the end of it.
Exactly.
That you've been waiting for.
And now you're going to fall asleep during that movie. Fandango reports that Avengers Endgame has notched the best first day U.S. sales record for the online ticket retailer, but beating Star Wars The Force Awakens, and it only took 6 hours to break that record. Advanced tickets went for sale at no, 7 a.m. yesterday, and they were basically sold out immediately. But it's now the number one pre-sale movie of all time, Freddie.
Not shocked.
All right, got to tell you, if you are a homeowner, listen up and grab your smartphone. Our friends over at TGS, they're going to save you some big money on your home policy, all without ever talking to an agent. Used to take hours to get a reliable home quote. Then someone came along and said, hey, we'll make it 15 minutes and we'll save you a few percent. And that was nice. But TGS, they upped the game. They said, how about this? 15 seconds. And all you got to do, is send your address. What? Grab your phone, text the word money to 232323. They'll ask for your address. You reply back with that. You'll get a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company is real. These savings are real. The average customer from last year saved over $825 on home insurance, and you don't even need to wait until your renewal. TGS is going to take care of the back end, all the paperwork, all the nonsense. You can free your mind and fatten your wallet. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.